Please help us finish in the black for the 8th consecutive year by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of 2015. Familiar sound of Handel's Messiah, that Christmas section we often think about that we hear so often during the Christmas season. And on this Thursday after Christmas, we're going to consider what Handel's Messiah had to say by way of its message and its music on the subject of the Incarnation. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. During the first hour, we're going to study Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation. Dr. Joseph Hurl will be our guest. Then, in the next hour, a great conversation on the first Christmas with Dr. Ken Bailey. Questions like, how accurate is the traditional nativity scene? What did that first Christmas really look like? Was there a stable? Were there animals? What's the manger all about? We'll answer those questions with Dr. Ken Bailey in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. Dr. Joseph Hurl is Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. Dr. Hurl, welcome back to Issues, etc.
Thanks so much.
What's the theological focus of Handel's famous Messiah?
It's about what God has done for the human race by sending Jesus Christ. It has three sections. The first part sets to music Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah and the story of the birth of Jesus. The second part sets Christ's suffering and death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and the spread of the gospel on earth. And the third part brings the message home and answers the question, what does all this mean for me? It concentrates on the end times.
So it's to use the word slightly loosely, it's a musical gospel.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the man himself, Handel. What's important to know about him and his career?
He was born in Germany, named Georg Friedrich Handel. It was anglicized to Handel. He studied law at the university, but then left the university to become a church organist. How often do you find that happening? He joined the opera company in Hamburg, was extremely successful there, both as a player but especially as a composer. In fact, so successful that the director of the opera company was jealous and hounded him out of town. He went to Italy to study, came back, and joined the court of the Elector of Hanover, Elector Georg. It was a great job. At 25, he was making 12 times the salary of Johann Sebastian Bach was at the time. And then came a key moment. He went off to London to produce his opera, Rinaldo. A couple of years later, he went back to produce more operas, and they were so successful that he just stayed in London and received a court appointment from Queen Anne. Now, Georg wasn't thrilled that his star music director had, in effect, jumped ship, so he fired him from his Hanover job. But 2 years later, when Handel was 29, a curious thing happened. Queen Anne died without any heirs, and the closest relative was none other than Georg of Hanover, and he became George I of Great Britain. Now, he was an interesting sort of king. He had a handoff hands-off approach to affairs of state, mainly because he didn't speak any English. He didn't bother to attend cabinet meetings because he couldn't understand what was going on. But Handel came to England, and that's where he made his career.
What was opera? And I want to talk about that transition from opera to oratorio, but what was opera? Was it the high culture that we think of it as today in Handel's day?
It was entertainment for those who could afford tickets to come. In England, what's curious is that, whereas in other countries in Europe, opera in the language of the country was popular, English opera never really took off. The English preferred to hear opera in Italian. And it wasn't even so much the plot they were interested in as in the vocal pyrotechnics of the singers. They wanted to hear stars.
So what's the difference between the opera that he had been producing and then, at this point in his career, the oratorio?
Operas are staged with costumes and scenery, and they're on secular themes, originally mythological themes, then other daily life scenes took the place of those. Oratorios got their start in Rome in the late 16th century, and they were musical presentations of biblical events. They were named after the room where they took place, the oratory, which was basically a parish hall where a layman named Philip Neri began giving lectures, and music was an important part of those lectures, and those were called the oratorios. By the time of Handel, a century and a half later, the oratorio sounded a lot like an opera, except that its text or libretto was religious rather than mythological or secular, and it was performed without costume, scenery, or staging. In other words, it looked more like a concert than an opera.
So that brings us to the Messiah. With a few minutes here before we take a break, how did the Messiah come to be?
In 1741, the Viceroy of Ireland invited Handel to Dublin to produce a concert for charity. Handel brought with him a new oratorio that he'd started on August 22nd and completed just 24 days later. It was written for Handel by Charles Jennens, whose family wealth allowed him to spend time doing such things. Now, most of his oratorios, Handel's oratorios, are based on Old Testament themes. You had Esther, then Deborah, then Saul, Israel, and Egypt, and so on. Messiah is an exception. It doesn't have the usual characters and plot. Rather, it's a loosely connected series of biblical prophecies concerning the coming of Christ.
So in that sense, it's unique in Handel's work.
It really is. And everybody wondered how it was going to go off, but it was first produced in Dublin, of all places, and ticket sales were so high that announcements went out in the newspapers asking the ladies not to wear hoop skirts to the premiere so they could squeeze more people in. It was extremely popular. The audience went absolutely wild with excitement. Although the London premiere the next year, there was a lot of controversy around that, because some newspaper accounts considered the oratorio blasphemous because words from sacred scripture were being sung in a theater.
And how would you describe, because on the other side of the break, we're going to be hearing this, and for some, maybe the parts of Handel's Messiah they've never heard, how would you describe what we ought to be listening for with about a minute here?
Let's listen for what Handel does with the text. He has a tendency to illustrate individual words of the text. And as we get to those places, I'll point those out. So the idea, things like joy might be illustrated with many notes sung to one syllable, or the height of something might be illustrated by high notes and so on. Those are the obvious things, but there's some that are less obvious. And as I said, I'll point them out when we come to them.
When we come back from this break, we're talking with Dr. Joseph Hurl, Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska, about Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 27th. We're going to hear selections from the Incarnation section of Handel's Messiah, and we'll have some commentary and some thoughts from Dr. Joseph Hurl. Stay tuned.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation. Dr. Joseph Hurl is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, December the 27th. Dr. Hurl, the first piece that we're going to hear, the selection from Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation, is Every Valley Shall Be Exalted. What should we know about this?
Part one of Messiah is often thought of as the Christmas portion, but it's really much more than that. It begins with a series of prophecies, mostly from Isaiah, about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. After an instrumental Sinfonia designed to get the audience quiet, the tenor tells us of the one that crieth in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Christians identify him as John the Baptist. Then the tenor sings how every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill made low. Now in this aria, we hear how Handel uses the music to paint individual words in the text. Exalted is sung to lengthy runs, which befits something exalted, and the word low is on a low note. Then we hear that the crooked is made straight, and crooked is sung to crooked notes, but straight is not. The crooked straight. And finally, the rough places are made plain, and plain is sung on a long note without any fancy decoration.
Exalted, shall be
I love what the tenor does right at the end with rough places. He shows off with a cadenza. Now, after this, we hear the chorus for the first time come in with, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now, any half-wit composer could take those words and set them to a bunch of chords that sound okay. But it takes real talent to give all four voices, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, tuneful melodies. Handel divides the text here into four sections and gives each one a different melody, all of which are the type you'd want to sing in the shower. Well, maybe not. "For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." That's only two different notes, but even here, Handel does it for a reason, to emphasize the force of what comes out of the Lord's mouth. Let's listen.
Oh,
after the alto informs us that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, she announces good tidings to Zion. Then we hear a mysterious trembling in the strings, and the bass tells us, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." The mysterious trembling in the strings continues until the Lord arises, and the important words "arise" and "glory" are set to long vocal runs. Now, the bass isn't finished yet. After we come back from a break, I believe it's time for one, we'll hear what the bass has to say as far as the people that walked in darkness.
Dr. Joseph Hurl is our guest. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 27th. We're talking about Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation. He's Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. people who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, December the 27th, we're talking about Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation with Dr. Joseph Hurl, Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. Next, we're going to hear The People That Walked in Darkness, and you said that the bass still has more to tell us about this. What should we be listening for, Dr. Hurl?
Right. The bass has just told us how darkness shall cover the earth. And now he continues with, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, what happens when people walk in darkness? Well, they stumble a lot and they trip over things, and that's exactly what it sounds as though the bass is doing, because his melody is just all over the place. It never goes in a straight line. That's the case until he sees a great light. And then he takes a large leap upwards on the word great and holds out the word light on a single note. Here it is.
That dwell in the land of the shadow.
On them hath the light shined. What is this great light? It is, of course, the child, the Christ, that is born for us. The next chorus, "For unto us a child is born," fits its text so well that many people are surprised that the music was originally written for different words. A couple of months before starting Messiah, Handel had written a duet cantata in Italian for the Sisters of King George. The beginning sounds like this. That text is about how the singers will never again allow blind love or beauty to trap them. What great music to use for a text about the love of God, which is far from blind. God knew exactly what he was getting himself into when he sent his Son into the world to die for our sins. Handel's text is from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." This is the best-known chorus from Part 1 of Messiah, and it's definitely the best-known for me because when my elder daughter was about 8, it's all she wanted to listen to during the long drive from Nebraska to Illinois to visit her grandparents. Fortunately, it's worth hearing more than once.
Let's go.
It's Thursday afternoon, December the 27th. We're talking about Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation. Dr. Joseph Hurl is our guest associate professor of music at Concordia University, Nebraska. When we come back, we're going to move on to the next selection talking about the Incarnation. There Were Shepherds Abiding. We'll hear it, and we'll get Dr. Hurl's commentary right after the break.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I think I mentioned before that in hour two of the program, we're going to be talking with Dr. Ken Bailey about the first Christmas, painting that picture from his expert knowledge of the ancient Near East first century world about the birth of Jesus. Now, you can paint that picture for your children with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. It's called O Holy Night. It is the latest of their archbooks for Christmas. It tells that story of that holy night when Christ was born in a way that your children can understand. If you know anything about these archbooks, they're perfect for kids. They're set in a poetic style. They tell the story accurately from the Bible and from the account of Holy Scripture, and they tell it in a way that children can understand and receive quite readily. O Holy Night is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. They're only $2 a piece, so you can order several of them for the children in your life. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation. Dr. Joseph Hurl is our guest. Dr. Hurl, the next thing Handel brings us are the shepherds. Talk about what we're about to hear.
Right. We're listening to the Christmas portion of Messiah, and we finally get there. We're transported to Christmas Eve in Bethlehem. Handel sets the scene with a slow-moving instrumental piece that depicts the sleepy shepherds resting on the hillside watching their sheep. In case that's not clear to us, the soprano thoughtfully informs us of what's happening. Then quicker notes in the strings announce the arrival of an angel who must have terrified the shepherds, for the first thing out of his mouth is, "Fear not." After the one angel announces the birth of Jesus, a lot more join in to praise God. That's the cue for the chorus. to enter in with glory to God in the highest. Those words are sung by the upper three voices, soprano, alto, and tenor. I suppose you could call those the angels of the choir. And on the word highest, Handel just cannot resist having the tenors sing at the top of their range. Then on the words, and peace on earth, the low voices of the choir sing, the basses and tenors, and the basses sing way down low, because the earth is lower than the heavens. This chorus, by the way, is the first time we hear the trumpets.
There were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And you, the angel of the Lord, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
One of Messiah ends with the chorus, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Its text is from Matthew 11. The music, like the yoke, is light and easy, almost playful. This chorus, like For Unto Us a Child is Born, originally set a text from an Italian duet cantata.
Oh,
Indeed, the burden is light for those who trust Jesus Christ to save. The incarnational theology of Messiah, that God comes to us in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, is a great comfort to anyone troubled by sin, and especially to those facing death. Handel himself knew this well. In the spring of 1759, he was blind, extremely ill, and could barely walk. Yet he insisted on being taken to hear a performance of Messiah in London. He died just a week later, with the words and music of this oratorio ringing in his ears.
Dr. Joseph Hurl is Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. Dr. Hurl, we always appreciate what you bring to our program, especially the last hour on the incarnation portion of Handel's Messiah. Thank you very much.
It's easy when the music is great. It almost doesn't matter whether I'm any good or not. Thanks so much, Todd.
In the next hour, we're going to discuss the first Christmas with Dr. Ken Bailey. Stay tuned. Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. For any sized year-end gift, we will send you a CD, Lutheran Service Book, Hymns and Services, and a CD with one of my Christmas sermons and a sermon on the Confession of St. Peter. You can make a financial contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to Issues, etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues, etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online year-end donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012. This is what this Christmas season, so newly begun, is really all about. The angels get it right. When announcing Christ's birth, they say that this is about glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men with whom he is well pleased. And the only way that he will be well pleased with us, the only way that this birth is good news to us, that God has come to earth, is that this child born to us is born for us. He is born to live for us. He is born to strive and work for us. He is born to give his entire life for us from beginning to end, to lay it down at the cross and to take it up again in his resurrection, all for us. This child that is born to us is born for us. That is the reason for his incarnation. It's often said that Jesus is the reason for the season, but dear Christian friends, never forget that the reason Jesus has come to earth is for you, to be your Savior, to save you, to give you eternal life in his name. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues, Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Listen to the best of the Church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
long for a church that has ancient roots and yet contemporary significance that is at once Catholic, Orthodox, Evangelical, and Protestant? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a church near you that preaches and teaches the faith once for all delivered to the saints at issuesetc.org.